Ah, oh, brilliant.
Thank you so much, Juliana. Thank you, everyone, being a service, making the meeting possible today. My name's Isaac. I'm an alcoholic, and it's really good to be here. Welcome, everyone who's just come in with your day count, anybody new with us back from a relapse, and to the newcomer who's here with us with alcohol still in the system, welcome. It's really, really good to have you here. Please stay with us. I attended my first AA meeting when I was still drinking. I was physically dependent and I couldn't not have alcohol in my system in order to get to my first meeting. And it was made incredibly clear to me that I was extremely welcome and that I'm in the right place. So I just want to extend that to you as well. We really have a solution on offer here that works. As was mentioned before, came in, my sober date's the 28th of March, 2022. And everything that's happened after that point, I can only give credit to this fellowship, this program, our beautiful big blue book, this power that I have a growing relationship with today, good sponsorship, service, all these things that we do here together, this path that we walk shoulder to shoulder has given me a life beyond my wildest dreams. And when people used to say that to me when I was new, that a life beyond my wildest dreams was available to me. Obviously, I do the knee-jerk reaction to being told that, which is to try and imagine what a life beyond my wildest dreams could look like. It was all in vain. I couldn't imagine for myself what I've been given today. And I'm not talking about like material stuff or money, but I have life today. I experienced life in a fullness I didn't know was possible for a human being. For a long time, my days were constrained to the inside of my apartment, coming to, usually withdrawing and putting enough alcohol in my system so I could be unconscious again. That's how I drank towards the end. It wasn't a glamorous existence. Long past were the days of this luxury that kind of allows me to feel a bit more sociable or a bit more part of the world. It became a very isolationist practice for me that I couldn't control by myself, and it almost took me out multiple times. I very almost, was an empty seat at my home group, and although the threat of physical injury or death or the fear of what could happen to me if I take a drink isn't sufficient enough for me to stay sober. At the same time, it's really important for me to acknowledge not only where I came from, but what I do suffer with and the importance of me practicing this program to the best of my abilities on a daily basis, because in and of myself, that's where I go. I'm a little over 4 years sober, which, I'm a baby in recovery, but it's also the longest I've ever been without a drink in my entire life. And I'm recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body, but I'm not immune to falling asleep again. And that's why it's so important that I stay here with you guys and I continue to learn and continue to grow. And what was made incredibly clear to me from day zero was the importance. And I'm so happy you read the first page of Working With Others at the start of this meeting, because that was what was made clear to me from before I got sober. Before anyone even said anything to me, right? Like, as I, what have we got? 114 people on this meeting. I would wager quite a lot that the reason all 114 of us are here today is because of someone working their 12 step. Or multiple people working their 12 step on us, right? Very few of us kind of just accidentally, oh, I'm in an AA meeting. Don't know how I got here. My life's great. Generally something seems to happen that seems to be, for in my experience anyway, a combination of this internal defeat, this being surrendered, where I finally put my arms up and consent to being helped, and then most importantly, the people who were already here keeping the lights on, working this program, practicing their 12 step and our fifth tradition, inviting us in to come all the way in and sit all the way down. And I think back often to the people who 12 stepped me when I came into these rooms, and just the gratitude I have toward the time that they gave to come and get me initially. I had a group of people drive to my apartment and chuck me in the back of a car and take me to a meeting on a cold Friday night in early March. And then the people for beyond that point, making sure that I was aware of what the solution was and how to tap into that solution, because they correctly identified that I'm an alcoholic of the hopeless variety and that I didn't have the benefit of time on my hand. And as I started to go through this book with my first sponsor, I began to see this in my own experience reading through the first 43 pages of this book, where I started drinking at 11 years old, and it was continuous until the age of 25, continuous and progressive. And I don't do abstinence. That's just not my thing. I always had to have some form of alcohol in my system at all times, past the age of 14, 15. See, this spiritual condition, this malady, this restless irritability, discontentment, this internal condition driven by self, that means with or without a drink, I'm really struggling, means if I stop drinking, things start getting really weird for me and quite dark very quickly. That paired with me not understanding a single thing of what I suffered with in terms of a physical abnormal reaction to taking a drink, and this mental condition, which means no matter what, I cannot stay stopped. Consequences don't keep me sober, and weirdly as well, consequences is, don't necessarily make me an alcoholic, which that was a kind of odd one to look at as I was going through the steps. But more importantly, consequences don't keep me sober, and I see this from my own experience, whether that's being revived in ambulances, coming to in hospitals, yet again destroying another relationship, yet again, crushing the hopes of my family, and losing work, and destroying my physical and mental and spiritual health. I always go back to it, no matter what, because what I suffer with inherently is a hopeless condition that I can't outthink. And if I could, I would. Like, I think thinking is something that I have in spades, and proved to be what played a large part in taking me out. So that I, if that was something that I could use to get out of this situation, it would have already worked. So thank God for Alcoholics Anonymous, because you guys then showed me if that's what I suffer with, we have a direct solution available to that problem. And I would like to echo what was said to me at my first meeting, which is, if you come all the way in, sit all the way down with us, go through this process with someone who's had an experience through the steps and is able to pass on freely what was given to them, you never have to drink again. Now, don't get me wrong. As I said earlier, I'm not susceptible to falling back asleep, which will lead me to drinking again. But our book's very clear. We have the opportunity to tap into permanent recovery here through the 12 steps, dependent on daily spiritual practices that allow me to grow my spiritual condition. But like, what does that mean, right? That was my question when I got here. All these big words: spiritual awakening, fearless and thorough moral inventory, turn your life and your will over to the care of God. Like, these things really scared me when I got here, because I didn't know what they meant. And I had lots of old ideas and prejudice on what I thought those things meant, what I thought the word God meant, what I thought the word spiritual program of action meant. But again, what, the people who stayed here and made a point to keep these spaces alive through their own recovery was that we talk about personal experience here, and it doesn't matter what old ideas around God I may have inherited in my childhood or from people around me. What's more important than any of that stuff is just a willingness to believe something other than myself can help me with this problem that is going to kill me. And there's a part in We Agnostics, which is, I mean, I'm one of those annoying people when I'm reading the book with people. I every chapter, oh, this is like my favorite part of the book. But genuinely, in We Agnostics, there is a line that talks about, setting aside prejudice on spiritual terms such as God or higher power or spirit of the universe or force of nature, and really asking myself, what do these words mean to me, rather than what I think they mean to anyone else or what I think they should mean. And the truth be told, when I got here, those words meant very little, because I had no experience with them. I thought I did, but I didn't really. And this process of identifying that the problem centers within myself, but then interestingly, so does the solution at a deeper level. This power that we can tap into, whatever you want to call it, it resides deep, deep down within. That's what our book says anyway. And another spiritual text point toward this same idea. There's something inherently that isn't me, but it is within me that I can tap into at any point. But when I'm driven by selfishness and self-centeredness and resentment and fear and drinking and traumas and all these other things that accumulated throughout my life, I'm blocked off from it, and I can't. It's not that it's not with me, it's just I can't perceive it. This illness is often referred to as a disease of perception or an illness of perception, and that has been my experience. And this spiritual awakening that our book talks about, it's a shift in perception. Some definitions that our book uses to describe this change all points internally, right? Change of thinking, change of personality, profound alteration in my reaction to life. That's usually my favorite, because that's just what's happened to me. A profound alteration in the way Isaac reacts to life, not a profound alteration in the way life reacts to Isaac, which I thought for a very long time would be the solution to all of my problems. And so as I'm taking through this 12-step process and showing actually the root of my problem is me, and step three, this inherent need the alcoholic like myself feels like they need to have control over other people and situations in order to receive some kind of internal peace that speaks to me at a deep, deep level. I wouldn't have been aware of any of these things earlier on in my life, but that's what it was. That's where the discontentment came from. That's where the pain came from. And so by the time I discovered alcohol at 11 years old, I was ready to experience the sense of ease and comfort that it gave me like that. It removed a problem I didn't even realize I had. But then, things progress and that stops working, and it just turns into this whole other thing. But ultimately, what I need to treat is self, is me, is ego, is my ideas on how I think things need to be in order for me to be okay. Because when I'm driven by take, 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 how can Isaac be okay? I often brush shoulders with other people and bump into things and cause damage in the pursuit for my own state of peace. And what I was what members of Alcoholics Anonymous demonstrated and continue to demonstrate to me is the absolute importance of placing the welfare of other people ahead of the welfare of myself. And that doesn't mean I starve myself because I'm so busy doing all of this stuff in AA, but it means the root of my problem is I think about me too much, and the more I'm able to be guided away from that, the more conscious I am of what's going on, including if I need to go and eat a meal or have a shower or look after my physical body. But this concept of service, something that was so brand new to me, but I saw in recovered alcoholics in the way that they walked. And then look, as I was taken through the steps, the very clear-cut directions in our book, and my sponsor was very clear in pointing these things out. And look, this is how we do this. This is how we can pray. This is how we write inventory. This is how we do a six and seven practice, write an amends list, but going through the tools. But what really caught my attention and attraction was that you weren't just telling me what to do, but you were already doing it yourself. Like as far back as the first group of alcoholics who pulled up outside of my apartment and chucked me in a car. Step 12. Met step one. It's like the infinity sign. There's no beginning and one ending, and step 12 bled into step one so that I could come here and I could go through this change and in turn practice the 12 step on someone having a step one experience. It's like this, yeah, just this amazing, like self-sufficient like a thing that just keeps on going and keeps on growing, and as the result of it, we get to live. We have 113 examples or 114 examples of life here today. We're here, and I appreciate some people might still be drinking on this meeting or still be very early in the start of their journeys. But what does it say in Bill's story? How dark it is before the dawn. And this can be it. I have to get to a place internally where I'm willing to listen and I'm willing to explore some new ideas, and more importantly, regardless of how I feel, I'm willing to do the action. Because that's how this stuff works. Action, action, action. But if I am, this can be it, and we can continue to get well, and we can continue to stay well, and it's so beautiful. I'm not someone who would have ever imagined I would dedicate time in my day to explore a relationship with God, but that's where this program has taken me, and I'm so grateful for it. I don't claim to understand God, but I do have a developing experience with conscious contact with this power, which still blows my mind. And I get in the way so much because the root of my problem is still selfishness, self-centeredness. So although the alcohol problem has been removed for over 4 years now, the obsession hasn't come back dependent on the action I put in today. It talks about in page 30, the persistence of this illusion is astonishing. Many pursue it into the gates of insanity or death. And although the obsession to drink has been removed from me today, the persistence of the illusion manifests itself for me often. Whether that's I'm sitting in a meeting and a judgmental thought comes in, or I'm going about my personal life and the resentment or a fear tries to pull me away from the present moment and convince me things aren't okay. But what you've shown me, the power of the pause when agitated or doubtful, and when I'm able to be aware of the present moment and look around me, it's like actually everything's okay. Everything's okay. Most of the, not even, I'm so close to saying all of the time that I can think of in recent memory anyway, all of the time in recent memory where I fall into fear around something or discontentment, it's always about something that hasn't happened yet. And that I'm, oh yeah, but that's gonna, and this is gonna affect this and this, and then I won't be okay. Very, very few amounts of it actually come to fruition. And if they do, it's not in the way that I imagine. It's all okay anyway. And the more I'm able to stay close to you guys and listen to those who've been on this path much longer than I have, and care more about my recovery than damaging my ego a little bit. Get to learn from those experiences and get to grow, and it's like this continuous process of growth. Because, and the book does talk about this, the removal of the, or just stopping drinking. Thank you, acknowledge. Just stopping drinking is just the beginning. I am separated from alcohol so that the real spiritual growth can begin. And thank God this isn't just a drinking problem that I suffer with, because I tried working my life around that idea, and it was a mess. And really understanding what I suffer with is a spiritual problem, and I need a spiritual solution for that problem. Miracles have happened in my life today. I used to be such like an angry person, in a lot of pain all the time. And I'm not saying, it was all unfounded and things happened in my life, sure, but the degree in which I held on to so much tenseness and retaliation and nastiness. And that's been reshaped into something so different today. I experience love at a very deep level most of the time. And when I don't, I'm instantly reminded of what the tools are, and in turn able to pass on what was so freely given to me, which I'm so grateful for. I can never pay back that debt. I can never, I just can't. But the ability to extend that arm that was extended to me is a privilege, and I'm so grateful to be on meetings like this one today, with people who are either new or whether you're back or whether you've been here physically in the spaces for some time and you're just in pain. Our fifth tradition makes it really clear. Our focus is on the still suffering alcoholic. It doesn't matter how long you've physically been in the meeting spaces for. If you're suffering, you're in the right place, and our job is to help you. So please let us help you. If you're willing to have a new experience, it's available in spades. My story is mine, but it's not unique. I'm a bog standard alcoholic, and that's what we have a program for here today. I'm out of time, so thank you for letting me speak. My number's next to my name if anyone would like to talk about this program for more. Thank you. God bless.